Those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt Rogers. I'm husband to Tafta. I'm father to Audrey, Ava, and Sam. We've been members here about 2 years. I think in October is 2 years. And we've relocated from Louisiana, which is Shreveport, is where we're from, that part. So don't expect a accent or us to tell you about wrestling alligators. It doesn't happen. I am just absolutely encouraged today, first from Trey's sermon, you know, to be reminded that God takes care of his people. To hear that he saves us, no matter what kind of season of life that we have, whether it be loss of job, whether it be an illness, whether it be financial troubles. The Lord sustains us, the Lord cares for us, and he asks that we seek him. So we look throughout Scripture, we hear about Job, we hear about Noah, we hear about various people, how they were reconciled back to the Lord, that they went through trials and tribulations that we, quite frankly, will probably never, heaven forbid, have to endure, and that we know that he's gonna take care of us. But as I was reading through this, I've read through it the last 2 weeks. Once I found out, I started this question, and it kind of got reinstilled with Trey. It's how can we be righteous in front of the Lord, for the Lord? You know, it's, he says right there, he's like, you know what, I'm going to rescue you in your time of trouble. Lynn, Cole, I mean, look at it. That is the perfect indication of the Lord delivering you from darkness. And that he's moving Cole to be reconciled to him. And that's just amazing to me. And that also is very encouraging. But what I'm going to talk about today is based on 2 Peter 2:9, if you have your church, your ministry guide, or your Bible, you can open it with me. I got to put on glasses because I can't see, and I hope I read the right thing. Okay. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. So that's 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Now, this is set up for me to show that there's 2 points. The first point is, and we've discussed it already, is that he rescues us, okay? The backstory to this chapter is like, it's been kind of a common theme here lately, is false teaching. You know, so Peter is telling them that, hey, we know what the situation you're in, but God's going to be there for you. God's going to rescue you. God's going to bring you back to him. But he also has words to keep the unrighteous in punishment until the day of judgment. So right there, he's speaking to two different things. And those are going to be my 2 different points. But my question for the first part is, how can we strive to be righteous before the Lord? And they're really cut and dry. These aren't something that is going to just like turn us all on our ears, like, wow, I can't believe he came up with that. But first thing is, read and study his word. I found that reading and studying for this opens up a big can of worms. The deeper you go into Scripture, the more the Lord reveals to you. Now, you can do it. You can go and check a box and read a couple of chapters and say, well, I did what I was supposed to do. But when you really, really get deep into the word and you seek biblical truth, and it is biblical truth because it's from here. It's not from any man. It's not from any woman. It's from here that the Lord reveals himself to you. So first thing, daily get in the word. Also, obvious, and we've done it tonight, is prayer. I mean, re-examine your prayer life. Same thing. It's easy to go, and it's easy to say a prayer that you halfway mean, but don't check a box. Pray to the Lord for what you want, because he says in his word he's going to provide it to you. So when you are in your prayer life, think about what you want to pray for and think about why you're praying. It's not to live your best life, but it's to be closer and be righteous in front of the Lord. And reiterating what Trey said today, which is funny because I had the Great Commission. My father-in-law, y'all probably know Ken Evans from the Amenin. But at Ken's church, he's a pastor. At his church, I can always visualize as we go out, there's a sign that says, you are now entering the mission field. Now, for the longest time, I looked at that as being kind of like hitting the door as you're going into a football game. And he didn't understand why I did that. But, you know, but looking at the Great Commission, we need to live the Great Commission in every aspect of our lives. Because he says go to the end of the earth. But you know what? Where is your end of the earth? Where's my end of the earth? It could be here. It could be at Harps. It could be anywhere. So our focus should be glorifying the Lord in every aspect of our lives. And in doing that, they all go hand in hand. When we read his word, when we pray, we need to be mindful that we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know what trials are going on in people's lives. But we can be a light regardless. It could be the worst thing in the world, or it could be just something that, you know what, I need to be encouraged. We must always go out and look to encourage and be mindful of what the Lord has in our path. So, to reiterate, read your Bible, read it the right way, dig deep, pray the right way, and just follow the Great Commission. You do those three things, you're going to be righteous before the Lord because you're going to please the Lord, and the Lord is going to help you in your times of trouble. And on the flip side of it, how do we keep from being unrighteous? What do we look for to see what we can do to not be unrighteous? Because as believers, we should be petrified of not being righteous before the Lord. We should be shaken in our boots. And the passage that came up to me is, it's a parable, it's the rich man and Lazarus. And I'm going to read it for you, but and then we'll kind of look. So we know that the poor man died and the rich man died. Rich man had everything going for him, so he thought. And the poor man, he didn't. He had a rough life. But as they went on to the other side, where did the rich man end up? Across a lake of fire, looking over at Abraham, looking over at Lazarus, looking over and saying, I need to be over there. But it was too late. He lived his life thinking the good stuff that was in his life was stuff that was going to get him heaven. But it didn't. You have to think of the poor man. You got to think that the poor man was someone who probably prayed to God every day because the trials in his life were prevalent in front of him and they caused him to pray probably every day. I would want to think because obviously he did something right because he's right by Abraham. Okay, so as the rich man pleaded, and was 23 and 24, Luke 16, 23 and 24, he said, in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. The rich man lived with a hard heart. And he didn't want a drink of water. He didn't want a swab of water that is going to quench. He just wanted him to dip his finger and let me have it. That's what he was pleading for. And later on in the scripture, he goes on to say, well, how are my kids going to know? That's a challenge to us. That's a challenge to us as believers to teach our children, to teach the people that we love. And we should love everyone in this building, in that we should all progress the gospel and tell them that the opposite of being righteous in front of the Lord is death, an eternal death, and that we need to do that. We need to train our children, because that's what the Lord has put before us, and that's the thing that we need to do. So, if you're a believer in here, if you're a non-believer in here, I just want to encourage you to read the Word and ask questions. There's people, so many wise people in here. In fact, I'm nervous being up here in front of some of these people because they are so wise. And I encourage you to ask them questions. I mean, you ask me a question, if I don't know the answer, I'll ask one of the wise people. But, thanks, Taffy, you do a good job. Nonetheless, if you're not, the only way that you're going to find salvation and find peace after you die is through Christ Jesus. It's not through a man's word. It's not through any word that you could read. Nobody telling you that it's your best life, live your best life possible. It's through this word. It's through what Jesus said, and it's through nobody else. So, in that regard, don't wait another day. I don't want to wait another day to be better, because I think we've all heard tomorrow never comes. And the day that you start to neglect the word and neglect the grace and the mercy of God and stand above it is the day that you're going to be crying and wanting Lazarus to come dip a finger so your mouth can be wet. All right, so let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come before you. Thank you for the fact that you will never forsake us and that you will deliver us from times of trouble. Lord, I also pray that as we go out in the weeks and months ahead, that every step that we take, we're mindful of your glory and the way that you love us, that we need to love other people like you do us. Lord, please bless and keep us. In Christ your Son's name we pray. Amen.